Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Matt Storrs, and welcome to Mattsplaining. On today's episode, I have an expert on who I'm very excited to speak with. Expert, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're an expert in.
Well, hello. My name is Joe Bates, and I am an expert in the video game Final Fantasy VII.
Absolutely fantastic. I have been researching and trying to understand the underpinnings of Final Fantasy VII ever since I was a child, and I think that I've had a breakthrough. I think that Final Fantasy VII is a game that tries to depict what it means to be the ideal male and the ideal partner in a relationship. So, for instance, you have all of these different representations of what masculinity could be. The stereotypical attractive young man with the spiky blonde hair, as we all know, the most important, wearing purple, having everything you would need to be attractive, and being 5'7", the perfect height for an attractive male. And then you have him carrying a sword much too large for his body. And everything you need, just the quintessential things. And then on top of that, he doesn't know who he is, which means he's mysterious. And so that's taught a whole generation of young men to be as mysterious as possible. And that's how you attract women in your life. That's how you attract friends in your life, other men to be around. That's how you get a dog who is sentient. But very sense, like a human in level intelligence. And then that's how you get like robot companions that are also cats and but still miss by being mysterious and then going on your journey. That will also bring you into people that are potentially too mysterious, these people that are living in coffins and the bottom of mansions. And that's a demonstration of like, oh, maybe don't be that mysterious, and but recognize what makes that individual attractive. And then there's the dynamic of like if you want to be like really scientific and like an engineer, you definitely don't want to have some of the negative traits that the character Sid has, where he's really mean to his employee slash love interest. He's cursing all around. He's smoking. Oh, and the number of kids that started smoking because they like Sid too much. You could tell who had a bad home life based on whose favorite character was Sid. And
What do
then
you have the stats on the number of kids on that?
I do. I believe it's about 75% of people that had Sid as one of their main three ended up smoking. So whether it became habitual, whether or not they switched over to vapes, I don't know. It's some tobacco use
You don't
during
want to get
life.
stuck on the crosstabs, so I understand.
Yeah, it's a much harder thing. And then you have Barrett, of course. What can you do if you're a person that has suffered in irreparable damage to your appendage? And that demonstrates that you can have adequate, if not amazing, life despite your injuries. And then you have the female love interest, typically in games. And typically in our creative depictions, our journey, so to speak, we have the mother and we have the sexual icon. Here we have the girl next door who is ready to beat anybody up. Very cool. And then we have the flower salesman who is mysterious and magical. And I think that that kind of subverts some of the expectations when it comes to the female love interest. And I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the stereotypical alpha male that is depicted in the game, Mr. Sep here, I believe.
Different
Sephiroth.
pronunciation than I'm used to, but sure.
Okay. Yeah. So it's they put together Sep her, like as in like him, and then Roth as in to work. And
Okay, I thought it was
so
an Eli Roth reference, but that
no,
makes more sense.
So Eli Roth actually chose his name because he really identified with this character. And so that character is the stereotypical alpha male. Again, very long sword, but thin, a very thin sword, the platinum white hair and cool duster, as well as a significant predisposition with his mother, which a lot of people don't think about when they think about alpha males and these guys that are trying to put themselves over other people in the world, are trying to disrupt the life stream and disrupt everything that the world holds dear. They really are hung up on their mother, and really they could stand to go to therapy as opposed to taking over the world. Now, based on how much you've heard so far, about how much of that would you say was accurate?
I would say out of 16 Final Fantasies, it's 13, which is
Okay.
the worst one.
Okay, good. Yeah, tell me about Final Fantasy.
I mean, there's a lot. There are some things you said, which is sort of what the characters are, but let me just paint a picture.
Okay.
You're a 13-year-old boy, Matt. You remember being a 13-year-old boy?
I have some thoughts. I believe I was mostly going to museums and watching nature documentaries.
Yes, you're watching TV, playing video games. You never left the house, exactly like I was. And you play a game, and in the game, and you tell me when something isn't cool, okay?
Okay.
Feel free to go, hey, actually, that isn't cool for a 13-year-old boy. That is a dude with a really, really, really big sword. Pretty cool.
Yep.
A guy with a gun for an arm. That's pretty cool. A dog that's sort of Native American. Hard to argue with that. A fortune-telling robotic cat that you don't really know is a robot, but until you read afterwards that he is a robot, you don't really understand it. But it is a cat riding a big stuffed animal. That's pretty cool. A bartender that can fight. And
Also cool.
yeah, that's cool. Astronaut who drinks and swears.
Exactly what I would think is cool when I was 13 years old.
A ninja?
Oh, yes, the ninja, I forgot.
You didn't mention the ninja. Well, it's a secret character, so it makes sense. And a vampire that has a gun. Come on.
Those are covering all the cool bases, if I'm going to be completely honest with you.
And a flower girl wizard, which I for some people isn't cool, but I know you, Matt. I know your botanist energy. You would be like, that's the coolest character. And honestly, she might be. Now, the alpha male Sephiroth, Sephiroth, I don't know about that. He was cool at the time as an evil villain, but the older you get, the more you're like, this guy is pretty lame.
Yeah, he's got some hang-ups, put it lightly.
But the villain, oil companies, that's cool. The villain, mama's boy, nobody likes a mama's boy.
Right, especially when you're 13 years old.
No, exactly. Because when I was a big no parent kid. I don't know what they called them back then. It was a different time.
Orphans, I believe they were called.
Or yeah, they were orphans. This is a side note. One time we passed by an orphanage and it was like a nice school, and my mom goes, "I guess it really pays to be an orphan." That just always stuck with me.
Yeah, that's something to unpack in therapy, I feel.
That's okay. Yes, but Final Fantasy VII, this game is unbelievable. It's got twist, it's got a very complicated story that I didn't understand till much later, and they had to add a bunch of stuff. There is a sequel movie to the game. There was a prequel game built for the PSP that nobody played. There was a even more prequel game that was built for just Japanese mobile phones that never made it here to America.
Cool.
And there was a sequel, much later on, sequel game that was just a shooter that was just Vincent shooting people.
I mean, it feels like they went back to the source material and really tried to flush it out and expand it. What's kept you interested in this over the years?
It's cool. That's exactly, I mean, it goes back to the thing. This is cool. It's a game that you play through a story, and what they really nail in this video game, and it's a traditional JRPG. For those that don't know it, it's sort of turn-based, but there is kind of it's called ATB, active turn-based game. There is constant movement and constant choices that have to be made of what your character is doing. It's not like a fully turn-based game where you choose, they choose, you choose. You're just both choosing at the same time, which is a little bit in the weeds for it. But you play it, and then it's got crazy characters, crazy side characters, crazy side quest. You dress like a girl for one part just so you can take down an evil, I don't know, I guess he's just like a mob boss.
Yeah, I think he is a mob boss, if I do recall correctly.
Very, very minor character that the mob boss you have to take down by dressing like a lady, and you get that by doing squats and going to what seems to be a brothel. And this is like, as a third kid, like, what the hell is going on? Like, why is this part of the game? You're like, this is great. Playing it again. And then this is all part of like the first 2 hours of the game. And then it goes like, hey, here's the rest of the world, which is great. It's got a place you can do archaeology. You love that. You got your whole one-man show. There's
I
a place
do.
called Bone Village. You dig up bones.
That's true. Yeah. And I mean, there's ancient monsters to unravel as well, if I recall correctly.
Oh yeah, you gotta figure that out. They're all a little side quest. Eventually, the earth itself shoots out huge monsters to help prevent the coming disaster, but they're really just wrecking house. They don't seem to be protecting or stopping anything. They just seem to be killing whatever's in their way.
Yeah, that tends to be the way with giant monsters, I feel.
Yeah, the kaiju community has never really been a support.
Right. It's a last ditch effort, and you hope that it's gonna work, but it's like you don't have as much, control over it as you might wish.
It's like if you were trying to screw in a light bulb and you used a gun.
Right.
You're
It
like,
might work.
if I just shoot the side of this light bulb, it'll turn it enough to screw it in, or it'll kill my upstairs neighbor.
Right, but there's a chance that it'll work.
And
The
that
and
it's a chance you gotta take.
exactly. You've got no other choice. If the roof is too high, you don't have a ladder to get up there. You got to get it on. When you play the game, who was in your main party, or were you a person that really switched out the characters pretty often?
So here's an interesting part. And Matt, you can tell me, should I spoil the game or not?
I mean, you.
This game was made, I mean, to be fair, this game was came out in 1997.
I think that the statute of limitations on providing a spoiler for a game that's that old and then also is so pervasive in society, I think you can spoil the game.
Yeah, so you've had 27 years of, oh my God, I am so old. You've had, jeez.
You're not old, you just are seasoned. You are seasoned with experience and enjoyment.
I'll die one day. This game, so basically, when I first saw this game, I was at my friend's house and he was playing the game. And the first thing I ever saw was the ending of the game.
Oh, wow.
And then he goes, and check this out. He went to a different save and showed me when the flower girl gets killed. So the first two things I saw in this game were the two biggest parts of the game.
That's crazy.
And so when I woke up the next morning, and this is crazy because I'm never like, don't read the last page of the book. You ever meet someone who's like, I read the last chapter first because I have no personality.
Right.
I was like, I don't know what this game is, but I have to play it. And I woke up at 4 in the morning at this kid's house while everybody's sleeping, snuck down to his basement, and just played this game straight through all the whole Midgar section, which is the first city you start in. And I was like blown away.
That's amazing. That's
I
so
was
great.
like, this is, I was like, what is this? I've only played like Super Mario RPG before that, so I never really played RPGs. And I was like, this is crazy. This guy's sword is so big and they're swearing in it. Like, what?
I know it's got everything at that point.
That's the only thing I need. It's a
Yeah.
big sword and swearing. And I just was locked in. I played the whole game. All right. Sorry, I didn't play the whole game yet. I convinced my parents that I needed to get a PlayStation because I wanted to play this game.
That's
And
great.
what I used is I go to my dad and I go, I need a PlayStation for Christmas. And he goes, why? You have a Super Nintendo, which don't even get me started on
He
the
just
aspects
doesn't
of
understand.
they just don't get it. I go, I need a PlayStation. And I go, also, you don't need to get me like a boom box or anything because it plays CDs.
Great.
It's already two things.
That's perfect. It's covering all your bases.
all CD needs taken care of by this one machine that it will be obsolete in 5 years. But so I get it. I play it. I play through it. I just can't stop thinking about it. I play through it again. It's the only game I ever played again right after I finished it and was just like this. I got the big strategy guide. I followed the strategy guide, the magazine, to make sure I didn't miss anything.
That's wonderful. I miss those old strategy guides.
Yeah, I do too. There was Final Fantasy IX is when they switched to like they had a strategy guide, but the guide kept telling you to go online to their website.
Right.
And it was never the same after that.
It
It
really wasn't.
really took me away. But I played through it. And this is like there's so much detail and deepness to the game that like I mentioned earlier, there was a prequel game made for the PSP. That entire game is based off a secret hidden scene that you just would never know about unless you do specifically did one thing in the game that had no purpose.
Oh, wow.
So the whole game is based off this one scene.
That's wild.
Yeah, and it's like integral to like all of the things they've just remade the game, Final Fantasy VII, which people have been dying for a long time. And the game is so big, the original one, that they had to make PlayStation 5 games, like three different PlayStation 5 games to cover the remake of it. And they're currently in the second one, which I'm playing right now. My wife hates it because I'm never around and I'm
Well, you're
forgetting.
around, but you're not present.
I'm not in New York City. I am on Gaia. The first game is basically just this. I would say it takes probably like 5 hours to play in the original. And this game is like 40 hours of that 5 hours.
Oh, wow. That's wild.
Yeah.
That's ins
There's
just insane.
in the original game, you go through a train graveyard, and all you do is just like get out of the sewers, you walk over to this area, you have to move some trains around, and you get to your next section. But in the remake, it is like a whole dead kid, there's ghosts. They don't know what they're doing, and you're dealing with it, and you're kind of going through trauma, and then you get through it, and you're like, boom. And it's so much longer and so much different than the original, but it doesn't lose the soul of the game.
That's great. So, who are some of your favorite characters in the game?
Sid Highwind, he wasn't a great role model, didn't know how to treat a woman. And I was like, well, that's how you do it. Women just like, and you're mean. That
Yeah.
seems to be. I guess the game make the book the game will come out later and that'll make sense to me.
It's a direct pipeline.
Vincent Valentine, which is the vampire with a gun, was what you mentioned about mysteriousness. That's what he was, but the more you play, like this guy has giant feet that make no sense.
That's a good point. I had never thought about his feet. That is, you're right.
His feet are crazy long.
Yeah, it's like he's got clown shoes on or something.
It does. In the movie Final Fantasy VII, Advent Children, he's in it, and you're like, see him walking around, like, what the hell is that? Like, why does he have giant feet in this movie? I just saw that in theaters, Advent Children Complete, which is the director's cut, and it was amazing. I'm so overwhelmed by Final Fantasy VII stuff that my wife knows the name of Final Fantasy VII.
Oh wow, that's
Like not
great.
and she knows to say the seven part when she's telling me I'm an asshole. I mean, this game is unreal. Basically, I would say the story is one man's journey to get through his terrible trauma and PTSD in the most roundabout way possible.
By
At any
doing
point,
mini games of snowboarding.
yeah, and motorcycle driving. At any point, he couldn't go see a therapist and take care of what his real issues are and realize he's lying about his life because he, for people who don't know, he consumes this other guy's life who saves him. And he gets, because he has so much trauma and PTSD, he just assumes that guy's life is his and is just lying to himself and everybody around him.
Right. Which
And
is the quintessential mentality. If you lie to yourself about who you are, people will be attracted to you. And so I think that that it all kind of comes full circle in that regard.
Yeah, so it is about being an alpha male. And I mean, Eris was great when she dies. You're just like really, I guess that's part of it. It was the first video game that elicited emotion out of me.
Right. And it was so such a strong emotion too, because it's so, I mean, maybe not for you because it was the second thing you got exposed to, but like it, she's like a clear love interest dynamic, and she's taken away, and it's just so shocking, especially for like somebody that doesn't know the narrative structure of these sorts of things, and being like, oh my God, like that's you don't do that. You just took away a main character.
I mean, everybody tried to figure out how to bring her back. And there was like a bunch of people saying, like, oh, if you play the game 5 times in a row and make these choices, the sixth time she will survive. And people just lying out of their asses. There is no way to save her, and it was crazy. I don't like in that game, it's hard to explain because you see this in movies, and this isn't actors, these are two polygon squares and triangles put together. But you're like, they got chemistry,
Right.
and you're playing as Clouds. You're like, oh, this is like you're making choices, so you start becoming this character. You're like, oh, I have chemistry with this character, and she dies, and you're like, oh. And then you have your other friend who probably should have chose the whole time.
Right.
They really kind of just wait for you. The
Yeah,
team.
a little bit, a little unhealthy friend zoning, I'd say.
But then the side characters, they all have pretty solid backstories that you get through and learn about as it goes on. It's just, I don't know, man. Now that I'm playing again, it's all I think about. And it's really cool to have that childhood, like, oh my gosh, this is great. And then 27 years later, they're still making new content for it. People have their Star Wars, their Star Treks. I've got Final Fantasy VII, and it's perfection.
Absolutely beautiful. Joe, this has been so insightful for me. If people wanted to learn more about you or learn more about Final Fantasy VII, where would you recommend that they go?
I recommend they play Final Fantasy VII right now, and then I recommend that they play Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core. Then they go watch Final Fantasy VII Advent Children Complete. Then they play Final Fantasy VII Remake. It's not a remake. Remake is like remaking the game. And then they get the new game, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and they just play that. That's gonna probably consume like 200 hours of your time. I think you gotta do that. Quit your job, quit your life.
Just this next week, let it be all you do.
Let it be all you do. Or you can follow me at Joe Bates Comedy, where I share different things about my life, which is mainly just playing this game right now. In the podcast I do with my wife, which is This Is a Good Movie podcast, where me and her make each other watch movies that we saw when we were young that they never saw,
Oh,
because
that's wonderful.
we want to tell them this is a good movie. You got to see this. We've done things like she made me see The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, The Princess Diaries, and I made her watch Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and RoboCop. So,
It's the balance there is perfection, and I love
yeah.
it.
Don't watch High Fidelity again. He's a terrible guy.
He really is, isn't he? It's crazy.
When I was a kid, I didn't think he was terrible, but he's a pretty bad guy.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Fantastic, Joe. This has been absolutely wonderful. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me, and down with Shinra Electric Power Company.
My name is Matt Storrs, and this has been Matt's Planning. Before we go today, I want to thank Ryan Lawson, my dear friend and all around okay guy, for making the theme music for Mattsplaining. And if anyone needs music production or mixing services for any of their projects, Ryan can be reached at beatblenderstudios@gmail.com or at beatblenderstudios on Instagram and TikTok.